on FanDuel Sportsbook. It is moving 5.5, which still seems a little wide for me, but that's just me. When was the last time your bookie gave you a do-over? I didn't think so. To claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app from the iOS App Store or visit FanDuel.com/Android and be sure to use the promo code Connor so they know we sent you. That's promo code Connor, C-O-N-N-O-R, to get your first bet risk-free on FanDuel Sportsbook. You must be at least 21 and present in Indiana. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms and restrictions apply. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, our radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Anthony Herron.
Who's going to be legit? The guy can play football.
Former NFL defensive lineman Anthony Herron.
It's away from the initial contact, but not the second time.
Breaking down the Bears on Fox TV.
Mr. Herron, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
College football for the Pac-12 Network.
Herron, the best of the bunch right now.
Anthony Herron with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Time to talk some football with Anthony Herron at the top of the hour. That's brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Saturday as they take on Nebraska at 3:30 p.m. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Before we get to football, you are not going to believe this.
I don't believe it.
This is absolutely incredible. I just got this text from my daughter.
Okay.
My daughter says, you'll love this. There is a coyote in Oz Park, so we're not allowed to leave the classroom. She said, I'm not kidding. I don't know what they're doing to make it leave. We could be stuck all day. It's been 25 minutes.
Well, wait, where is she supposed to be? It's 11 o'clock. Aren't there, like, classes and stuff?
Yeah, why can't you just go to your classes within the school?
Right? Do you have to leave in order to walk around that building? I thought that building was all connected.
Well, Dan's daughter goes to school in a strip mall. I don't know if you were aware. Right? That's why. To get from class to class, they have to exit the building.
Right. It's go from Claire's through the movie theater all the way down to the camp. Yeah,
yeah, her high school. Right. She's at Lincoln Park. Her high school abuts Oz Park.
Right.
That coyote, again. It lives there. It's unless they think it's the same rogue coyote that bit the 5-year-old and bit the poor guy on the ass.
Well, we don't know that it's not.
We don't know. They said it had a signature limp of some kind, even though a lot of coyotes kind of look like they're limping. But you're on a coyote lockdown?
Is there such thing as a rogue coyote?
They think this one might be.
Okay. They're not all rogue.
Oh, it's like it's without its pack?
No, most of them are. They're fine. They're not really pack animals.
They're not?
No, but this wolves are. Coyotes are
I would have put them in the same category.
I would have thought so. I would have thought that the portrayal of the coyote in the Roadrunner cartoons was the one that wasn't actually real. You know, like the lone coyote who's obsessed with the Roadrunner and all that kind of stuff. Hilarious as that is.
Yeah, see, now wolf, don't mess with.
A wolf will wreck the saying should be lone coyote as opposed to lone wolf then.
Well, but I think lone wolf has a different meaning because a wolf that has broken away or has been shunned by its pack.
That's meaningful.
Because, they are social animals and there is something, there is actual biological meaning to the idea of a lone wolf, I believe. And I don't know how the idiom actually is applied. But yeah, that's an animal not to be messed with. Coyote doesn't scare me quite as much, but let the kids go to class.
I think I bring these things about because when I was here last week, like just as I exited last week, there was The Walking Dead.
Yeah, not
or
dead
the
guy.
Eventually
not
walking.
Dead.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
No,
not
he
dead
got
guy.
Up.
I was like right as I left here last week. I get a text from Zawaski. Hey, did you see the dead guy? No, I missed him.
That one. I forget what it was. You were making such a great point on the way to break, and we were saying goodbye to you.
Yes.
And we said goodbye, and I was like, oh man, just you know, he just hammered that home. That was absolutely right. What do you think, Dan? And Dan goes, is that a dead guy? Like, dude, will you hang with him for a minute? Oh my God, it's a dead guy. Like I was angry with him again. And he's right. It was a dead guy.
The 312 texter says there's been a news helicopter over Oz Park for 20 minutes.
Oh, God.
Come on. I guarantee you it lives there.
I mean, it would stand to reason.
There. It's Oz Park. They got plenty. It's only because...
The helicopter lives there?
No. Worry, this helicopter...
It's natural habitat. Oz Park?
Oh, helicopter man. Hovering around a campfire somewhere, roasting s'mores.
You saw some interesting playoff stuff go on last week, and we saw some teams... running the football, doing old-fashioned things. We saw a load back. We saw a bell cow running back. What did you see last week that has you informed for this week? What mattered to you carrying from one week to the next?
I looked at some numbers just on a couple of quarterbacks that I thought were comparable, because my mind is so much during the football season viewing things through the Bears lens. And late in the year, it was a week or two to go, where I tweeted out just some stats on who are the quarterbacks between like what I viewed as the San Francisco offense, Baltimore offense, and Buffalo offense, were offenses who did consistently what they could to minimize the overall exposure of their quarterback. And I just ran the numbers on how often those quarterbacks had attempted 40 passes or more versus how frequently the Bears had made Mitch Trubisky attempt 40 passes or more. Earlier today, I looked at all the playoff quarterbacks and did a similar thing where, including the playoff numbers, Josh Allen 0-2 when attempting 40 or more, Deshaun Watson 1-1, Tom Brady being Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes being Patrick Mahomes, they both had winning records attempting 40 or more passes. Ryan Tannehill has never, at least this season, had an attempt at 40 or more. Lamar Jackson 0-1. NFC quarterbacks in the playoffs. Jimmy G, 1-1 when attempting 40 or more passes. Russell Wilson, who some folks gave MVP votes to, 1-3. Carson Wentz, 4-5. Aaron Rodgers, 2-1. Drew Brees, 2-2. Kirk Cousins this season has yet to attempt 40 or more passes in a game. In the regular season alone, Mitch Trubisky, 1-4. Had five games when he attempted 40 or more passes. And so just through that Bears lens, it's an example, like you referenced, Derrick Henry being the load back. Dalvin Cook for the Vikings, when he's healthy, being a load back, and what the mentality of those play callers, of those coaches, of those organizations are at this point that is leading them to success, not just in the regular season, but in the postseason. And as I said to you guys throughout the year, I mean, while Mitch isn't one of the other guys who's so much better than him, but I felt like there was a formula the Bears could win with more effectively with Mitch this year. And we see other teams deploying that formula to success. And that should be frustrating for Bears fans.
So I want to talk a little bit about running the football in the playoffs here, because I loved watching Derrick Henry. Don't get me wrong. 34 carries, 182 yards. I think I saw a stat on the Ringer, I think it was, where something like 150 of his yards came with a defender within a yard of him. You know what I mean? So that's like he's running, and players are looking at him going, I am not touching that guy. He is going to kill me. And I don't want to get buried here on national television.
Yeah.
Even still, he had one touchdown on 182 yards. Even still, it was really difficult for the Titans to score. I understand they were playing the Patriots defense, and that's a tough call. You know, I mean, that's a tough matchup.
Yeah.
But I still don't know. There's running the ball the way Tennessee did. There's running the ball and other teams. Then there's running the ball the way the Ravens do.
Right.
Totally different.
Right.
I just don't know that, as much as fun as it is to watch this kind of like old school run the football, you know, kind of get the ball down the field sort of thing, I don't know how correlative it is to scoring against some of the defense we've got in these playoffs, in this bracket.
I would agree. I think the observation is an accurate one in that it's not, especially in modern football, it's not the way that you can most frequently threaten the defense. When you're looking at the comparison with a Baltimore offense, which also doesn't ask Lamar Jackson to be a volume passer, but it does set up strike plays. It does set up the explosive pass, and it certainly has frequency of the explosive run by comparison to most other squads in the National Football League. And so when you can run the ball with the effectiveness that Baltimore does, and you have a quarterback who can take advantage of that, whether off of play action or just off of predicated coverages, because of the effectiveness of their run game, you're more frequently going to get a safety who walks down into the box. You can set up more one-on-one matchups on the outside, thus setting up a Hollywood Brown on the outside one-on-one, or setting up a couple of speedy tight ends to take advantage of linebackers or safety matchups. So they're a very explosive offense in Baltimore, whereas in Tennessee, it's not necessarily the case. They plod their way down the field mainly through the running ability of Derrick Henry. And Ryan Tannehill has been an effective deep ball thrower. It hasn't needed to be with the frequency, but he has been really good in completing deeper passes. His yards per completion, yards per attempt, has been first in the National Football League throughout the season. Just don't ask him to do it that much, but when they ask him to do it, he's been effective at that.
Did you ever go up against a running back at any level who intimidated you physically? And when you knew, like, oh, man, this is I'm on an island here. I've got to make this play. This is I can do it, but this ain't going to be fun.
In the Arena Football League, yes, because the running backs were they're like 300 pounds. But in more standard or outdoor football, the closest approximation for someone I faced as a defender would have been Jerome Bettis. And the bus had a really unique knack. It's something Derrick Henry doesn't even necessarily do. The 1.0 version of Derrick Henry, Eddie George, wasn't great at this. In the hole itself, being a really big, like a robust back with a huge, thick frame, being able to get skinny in gaps. That's what the bus could actually do. Like, once he got a few steps upfield, that's when he looked for contact. But at the line of scrimmage, and until he kind of got through that initial level of the defense, he was looking to avoid contact. And
he also ran low, where Derrick Henry is one of these.
Dude, he runs
6'5". He's over 6'3". He's my height. Runs tall, just like Eddie George.
But Eddie George had a forward lean to him that took a little bit away from that. Like, Derrick Henry is more, I see like Eric Dickerson almost with this upright style with the legs coming at you.
He's a huge target to hit, and he doesn't necessarily diminish the contact surface for tacklers when they're coming in trying to make hits. It's just you can hit him all you want. He's not going to go down very easy, but the Jerome Bettis, the bus, he did a really nice job through the hole of running with that forward lean, kind of behind his pads like Dan's describing, and he had the vision and just the ability to sort of turn his shoulders or turn his hips or just do enough to kind of get small where he didn't necessarily take flush contact right there at the moment of truth, at the line of scrimmage consistently. Now, once he got into approaching that second level was where he started looking, kind of hunt some guys up, lowering his shoulder, trying to lower the boom.
Remember Natron Means?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Very, very physical ball carrier, you know, over a shorter stint of time, of course. But he was, and partly because of the contact that he didn't look to avoid, that was part of why he got really beat up, banged up. You saw him start to throttle down pretty early in his career because he was a guy who was going to hunt up some contact. And he's really good at it for a little while, but it's hard to maintain that. If that is kind of your one go-to, is just here comes that inside fastball, either you turn on it or you don't. If that's all you got, then you're not going to last a real long time.
As thoroughly enjoyable as Vrabel and Tannehill have made the Tennessee Titans, I don't see any way they beat the Ravens.
No. Agreed. Yeah, okay. Agreed. I mean, and, you know, I would assume that's even maybe a little tongue-in-cheek. As far as, it's not a really aesthetically pleasing version of football, but you know, they play really hard. They set up their defense to take the field and play really hard too. If they can make Baltimore enter a slugfest, then sure. You know, they definitely have a shot in the fourth quarter when it comes down to it. And I would say this because in addition to that, they don't necessarily, because there's multiple approaches you can take when you're limiting the exposure of the quarterback. If you have a guy who you feel can make plays late, then you limit the exposure up to a certain point. And you allow him to make some plays to throw the ball like was their recipe against the Patriots last week. Ryan Tannehill had to. I mean, he only attempted 15 passes, 15. Only completed about half of them.
Two guys had two catches. That's it.
Yeah, and at the end of the game, though, when it was the decisive drive and they needed to salt it away, he completed some nice out routes, and they trust him to do that.
Touchdown pass was on point, too.
It was.
I mean, that's a great throw.
It was. It was a pinpoint pass where it had to be on time and rhythm, and for them, for their offense, they don't necessarily protect him the entire game, but they find moments to say, Ryan, you've got the physical gifts to get this done. We're just only going to ask you to do it every once in a while. That's a little different than where if you're a situation going into postseason play, we say, we can't ask the guy to do anything. We need it to be running game. We need it to be defense. We need it to be special teams, all these other things. Yeah. If you can just get to the end of the game where it's really tight, then Ryan Tannehill has shown an ability to make some key plays and key moments.
Talking with Anthony Heron on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score, as we do every week during football season. There's been a couple schools of thought with the Packers. Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, we weren't sure how they would get along. People lauding, saying, hey, look, however you've gotten here, however it's worked, whatever receivers you've had or you've not had, you found a running back and the audible question has been resolved. There are others who think, man, the Packers are nowhere near as good as their record says they are, and they're eventually just going to get exposed at some point. Where are you?
I think they're good. I don't think they're great. I believe that the when I look at Green Bay and in comparison with Minnesota, where I viewed the Vikings as a team that had exceptional personnel that wasn't really playing near their peak throughout the bulk of the season. And for a stretch there in the middle, they began to. And then when they said, all right, it's not going to be all on Kirk Cousins here. And then after he really got into a rhythm, they said, all right, Kirk, let's make some things happen. But for Green Bay, because they'd been one way for so long under Mike McCarthy, and because you know, one of the preeminent personalities and playmakers in the NFL, plays quarterback for them, it did make a difficult transition. It made it tough for the media to try to figure out whether or not it made sense. Made it a little difficult on Aaron Rodgers, on a young coach in Matt LaFleur. But with Aaron Jones playing as well as he did and the respect he had already garnered within that locker room, that part in being able to be happy for a guy who in spot duty had been a playmaker, had been a guy yards per carry wise amongst the NFL leaders for several seasons, and now being the main rock toter for the Packers, that's where the offense got behind that more readily than they would have if it was here some mercenary from outside or you know, some guy we're not really with. So defensively, what they did in adding the personnel on that side of the ball to their pass rush, to their secondary, this is the game. This is the matchup where it needs to pay off for them because the defense was up and down throughout the year. They certainly had their peaks where it looked like this is why they spent all the money. They had stretches where it didn't come to fruition. I'm not confident they're going to win this game. I'm not picking the Packers in this game, but I do think personnel-wise, there's enough there to get it done.
That's the case. It's all on Russell Wilson, pretty obviously. Travis Homer had 11 carries for 12 yards against the Eagles. Marshawn Lynch had 6 carries for 7 yards. Yes, one of them was for 5 and a touchdown. Okay, that's great. But my God, man, Russell is going to have to do it again and carry that team. Weird things happen when the Seahawks play football games, just in general. Even more weird things happen when Seattle and Green Bay hook up. I settle
and
a bet
and
for us.
Seattle on the road.
That's true. Yeah, Seattle on the road. I think they won 8 road games this year, right?
Yeah.
I settle a bet. I understand that DK Metcalf has limitations as a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. That said, I can dream on the guy. Like, I just can going forward. We were talking earlier about when the Bears played the Saints. That's that big body Michael Thomas, 2 steps and a 7-yard slant route. Put your body in front of the defensive back and catch that and go. See how far it takes you. He can do that as long with the go up and get it stuff. I think those are your two guys. That's who's got to go ahead and win a football game for you if you're Seattle against Green Bay.
Yeah, and I think that's likely going to be the case now to scheme that up. This is where Russell Wilson, at this point in his development, separates himself from the early career version of Russell Wilson, where the quick game can be a much bigger part of Seattle's passing attack now than it was before. And where you look at the Chiefs offense, and quick game for them can still be like 3rd and 15 and beyond. And they're just so fast at receiver, but they can still go 3-step drop and get it out in rhythm because Tyreek Hill can get to 15 yards and beyond. Seattle doesn't have that. They don't have that in Lockett. They don't have that in Metcalf, but to be able to throw within rhythm, as long as you're in, you know, sort of predetermined downs and distances that would associate themselves to the quick game. If you can do that to get away from what that Mike Pettine pass rush and some of the eye candy he gives you pre-snap, Wilson can diagnose that and he can throw in rhythm much better now than he could early in his career. So as long as that quick game is humming for Seattle, I think the Seahawks are going to pull it out.
This segment's brought to you by Campland RV, RV buying made easy. Ring in the new year with Campland RV. Enjoy special RV show pricing all month long. Stop by the dealership or visit CamplandRV.com for more details. Campland RV, RV buying made easy. Just a short drive off I-94 in Northwest Indiana.
2 more games to talk about with Anthony Herron. He's hanging out with us for another segment. The playoffs are upon us, and we've got Big Ant to talk about him. It's Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
Hiring can be challenging, but ZipRecruiter makes it fast and easy. We talked to COO Dylan Miskowitz, who needed to hire a director of coffee for his company, Cafe Altura.
We would look through lots of applications for people who were not qualified. It definitely felt like we were looking for a needle in a haystack.
So Dylan started using ZipRecruiter and found his perfect candidate in a few days. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/needle.
We're very impressed with how quickly we had quality candidates apply through ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is a powerful tool in our hiring process.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/needle. That's ZipRecruiter.com/needle. ZipRecruiter.com/needle.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the Radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations with the Radio.com app. you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Hey, it's your girl, Tasha Makia.
I'm Big Dave.
Big Dave is a professional bodybuilder and personal trainer, so if you're trying to change your life,
you need to check us out on our podcast,
Big Dave's Power Half Hour, where we break down everything from fitness and exercising to nutrition, supplements, and so much more.
And I tell you the real deal. I don't sugarcoat anything.
So search for Big Dave's Power Half Hour on all podcast platforms.
Or find us on radio.com.
You're listening to The Score through the power of Radio.com Sports.
Radio.com Sports. Stream The Score in all of your favorite sports stations. And it's so easy to download.
Keep listening for the best experts in sports. Tons of original sports content. Podcast Score and all your favorite sports stations.
Radio.com Sports. It's easy and it's free.
This is Radio.com Sports.
Hi, I'm Michelle Smith, two-time Olympic gold medalist and ESPN analyst. Only 41% of women college teams are coached by women, and the numbers are even lower at the youth level. Female coaches made an incredible impact on me. That's why I'm passionate about helping women level the playing field. We Coach is a nonprofit focused on building a community of female coaches of all sports and levels. Through programming, resources, and support, we're helping change the profession. Visit WeCoachSports.org to get involved.
Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. Don't forget about the environment when making your New Year's resolutions. This year, resolve to use less gas in your car. You can carpool to work a couple days a week, use public transportation like buses or trains, combine errands to make fewer trips, and take a walk for any distances of a mile or less. And think about an electric car when looking for your next vehicle. It all starts with one thing. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Does someone in your family have a drug or alcohol problem? Can you see what it's doing to you? If you're hurting and confused about drug or alcohol abuse and its effects on your family, let Families Anonymous help you. Families Anonymous offers direct help to family and friends of addicts through personal sharing. Meetings are free, not associated with any religion, and totally anonymous. For the meeting nearest you or more information, call 800-736-9805 or go to familiesanonymous.org.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
What can players and fans expect from David Ross as the manager of the Cubs?
A lot like he was as a player.
David's going to be the same, and that's the beauty of it. David's not going to change. That's the one piece of advice I did give to him, because he needs to manage like he played. And if he does that, he's going to be just fine, because he was almost the manager on the field as a catcher. So believe me, this he's going to be very successful. You're going to love him. He is all of that. He's funny. He's bright. He engages well. He's definitely got all the social graces in check as a manager in the field and the dugout. There's things he's going to have to grow into, but he will. I mean, he's got good people around him. David's going to be a spectacular major league manager.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This brings back childhood memories.
Yeah? Feel it?
Yeah, I know this beat well. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. If riding a Zamboni is on your bucket list,
it is.
Then do it at a Chicago Wolves game. To sign up for a spin on the new Turtle Wax Icebox, visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. You wanted to check a couple of boxes here regarding some playoff games and big
I want to talk about all the playoff games with our guy Anthony Heron.
Anthony Heron, his tiny little phone. What are you doing?
Why somebody try to run some little scam on me sometime last week?
Somebody try to run a scam.
Because somebody I was using, it was a hotel I was at in San Antonio last week, and the Wi-Fi Wi-Fi. I don't know, somebody hacked the Wi-Fi or whatever, and I got a text from like somebody claiming to be with the hotel. Hey, you just won like an iPhone 37 or something like that. You know, just click on this link and we'll get your info. Like, wait a minute, you got the wrong one. I want the oldest iPhone possible.
Oh,
preferably, I want a flip phone if we can go and rewind history for that.
What are you, my mother?
I don't, man. If all the retinal scanning you got to do, like, do one of you have one of these retinal scan phones to unlock it?
Yeah, I turned that off because that way they can't track me. I'm sure they're still tracking me. But I turned it off.
Tracking the hell out of you.
Okay, so I'm watching the biggest upset of the weekend last weekend. I'm watching the Vikings win.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't love that team for a lot of different reasons. I really like that defense. I think the Niners are a better team. But Adam Thielen playing at that level changes immensely the potential for that Vikings offense. I don't think it does it enough to beat the Niners in San Francisco or wherever the hell they play their games.
Yeah.
But I think it makes it a much, much better game and gives them, like, I don't know, that's a fourth quarter shot at a win.
It is. I mean, you know, like you said, San Francisco is a better team. They have been throughout the course of the season. Their defense became a little bit more human. You know, we were just talking about Troy during their commercial break. I think they've found, well, I don't know whether it be a Trojan horse, an Achilles heel, something with the 49ers defense, but they're still good. Still very good in the secondary, especially.
Just
so
throw it all up there. And
yeah. One of those things matches with them being right. Something happened where they weren't quite as good as they used to be.
Facebook launched 1,000 ships.
Right, all those things. Yep. But their defense became closer to human than it was throughout the first half of the season, let's call it. But their secondary is still really good. They're great in coverage. And as long as what has been a dominant pass rush, a really effective pass rush, can make Kirk Cousins uncomfortable, can knock him off the spot, can throw him out of rhythm, then that's going to be a problem, you know. But you have a healthy Dalvin Cook. And so that, to me, from a Vikings perspective, as great as Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs have the potential to be, and Kirk Cousins got that, you know, he finally broke through in a big game. The playoffs had some big passes to win the game, and that's all cool. When it comes down to it, it can't be about Kirk Cousins. It's got to be about Dalvin Cook. It's got to be about that offensive line neutralizing that pass rush, forcing that secondary to think about coming and running the alley and coming downhill to deal with the run game, as opposed to just saying they can just try to plaster coverage the entire time against multiple quality receivers.
Jimmy Garoppolo scare you?
No.
Really?
No. I mean, he's a nice quarterback.
Okay.
He's a nice quarterback. He's one of these other guys who is only asked to do so much. And as long as he doesn't have to do too much, then they're effective. They coach toward as great a play caller as they have. They coach towards their defense. They coach towards consistency of the run game. They coach towards moving the pocket, cutting down his reads. He can operate from the pocket. They just don't tell him to do it all the time, which to me makes sense when you have what's still an inexperienced quarterback. I don't care how much money he's made. He's still an inexperienced quarterback.
No doubt.
And in his first playoff game, to put anything more on his shoulders than they were asking him to do throughout the season, I think he was one of those guys that I was listing in the previous segment. He was maybe 1-1 in games attempting 40 passes or more.
That's what he said, yeah.
And he's one of those offenses that between San Francisco, Buffalo, Baltimore, that constantly has their quarterback on the move in three very different manners, but all of them say, you're not just going to constantly stand here and throw the ball from the pocket. And as long as that's the case, then you can allow him to be comfortable. You can allow him his exposure to mistakes and errant throws to be diminished.
NFL coaches are being hired, and the Bears are slow walking their apparent search for an offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. If, in fact, there is a search for an offensive coordinator. Right. They decided to officially name a replacement for Harry Hiestand, naming Juan Castillo, a longtime friend of Matt Nagy's, mm-hmm. as their new offensive line coach. But with Mark Helfrich out now, we don't know what the plan is, and we don't know how swiftly they have to operate. I'm also not sure how attractive a job that would be, to be an offensive coordinator, not necessarily a play caller, and maybe everybody gets blown up after this year. Is that a job you have to fill, and who is looking for it? Are we talking about young and hungry or old and desperate in this case?
You definitely need to fill it in some capacity. The job title doesn't need to be there, but if you add an additional offensive assistant and don't claim that they're the offensive coordinator, it'll still operate in the same capacity as what hiring someone and giving them the title of offensive coordinator would operate as, because it's just going to be someone to help Matt Nagy implement the game plan throughout the week, to teach it to the quarterback and the skill position guys. And then when game day comes, just to occasionally chirp into Matt Nagy's ear and try to remind him, hopefully, to run the football or to run a bootleg or two. But it's not going to be someone who's calling the play. I think that's fairly evident. And it's not going to be someone, you know, to bring in, if it's a veteran voice, it will likely be some veteran voice who is most responsible for trying to get the Bears' run game going. And that's what will end up making the most sense.
Well, it sounds like that these firings were punitive because of the lack of a running game and or pass protection. We don't know exactly, because they didn't say. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't give us a chance to ask, and they didn't say. So I don't know if this is the, you know, the firing of the hitting coach before the manager gets fired. Say, look, not feels my fault. Like it kind of does feel like it. I agree. But how open is Matt Nagy going to be if this is his scheme? If they're going to run inside zone, that sometimes means these offensive linemen are not exploding into their assignments. They're more covering areas, catching guys instead of knocking guys backward. How much can you really expect to change?
Up to this point, I'm still willing to bank on the inexperience of Matt Nagy as a head coach and whatever level of hubris may have needed to set in for him to say that my way isn't what works for this crew. I don't think his way at large doesn't work in the National Football League, but with the personnel they have offensively, and that was a realization that, and I think I mentioned to you guys a couple times during the season, just his positivity about the players themselves seems to lead him down the road of thinking that if I call it, it's going to work, man, because my guys can get it done. And at a certain point, he needed to recognize and didn't consistently enough recognize that your guys aren't getting your system done. And if it is a veteran coach, it'll be somebody, it needs to be someone who he will trust to oversee the run game. If it is a younger guy, Mike Kafka type, who can come in and get the OC title, then it'll be someone who's probably in a very similar capacity to what...
Helfrich?
Not even Helfrich as much. It's just basically another... court, you know, kind of quarterback coach, I guess, is essentially what it would be, an additional guy to kind of be in Mitch's ear, because you won't have the backup quarterback anymore in Chase Daniel to be that additional coach who's working with Mitch on a meeting in, meeting out basis.
Do you? I want to make sure we don't go too far down the field here before we get the answer to it. Maybe you put some of it in what you were just talking about. But what does it make you feel when you hear stuff come out of reports, come out of sources where it's, well, Mark Helfrich was kind of responsible for the run game, so we had to go. Or the RPOs didn't work, and that was Helfrich, and he had to go. Or Harry Heaston was kind of in charge of the run game, and he had to go. How did that make you feel when you hear those kind of sources report those things about the offense that may or may not be true?
I mean, Mark Helfrich is a guy who did a lot of zone run schemes, a lot of RPOs at the collegiate level, and it was why the role that they placed him in seemed to make sense at the time. But when it comes down to it, those were also schemes that Matt Nagy was doing before Mark Helfrich ever was hired, before Matt Nagy ever became the Bears head coach. So while Mark Helfrich is a guy who had the title of offensive coordinator and was the one who, you know, reportedly and supposedly had more influence on specifically the run game and the style of runs that the Bears utilized, when it came down to it, that not working should not have been blamed solely on Mark Helfrich. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't look to upgrade that spot. And so presuming Ryan Pace isn't looking to fire himself, or Matt Nagy isn't looking to fire himself, to bring in someone who, and maybe it's even just someone who you feel like will influence you in a different manner. Maybe there's just something about Mark Helfrich as not having the pre-existing relationship, in some ways being the outsider, if he wasn't influencing Matt Nagy in the proper way, where they feel like if we bring in another voice who we think can steer us down this path, then perhaps more success is possible. But when it comes down to it, Matt Nagy was the name I was using every week when I was talking about the Bears' run game and the failures of it, because Matt Nagy is not only the head coach, but he's also one who is calling the plays and running a system that he was running before he got here. He didn't say, hey, Mark, how do I run the football with the Chicago Bears? And Helfrich just reinvented how they're going to operate offensively. So it is on Nagy more than it is on Helfrich. That being said, Nagy ain't firing himself.
Let's double back to the playoff games before we go here. Right. We got one more to deal with, and that's, of course, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, part deux. I think this is the most fun game on. I'm looking through all fours. That's the most fun game on the slate. Mm. I think Deshaun Watson, despite
fun slash painful.
There's definitely pain. Oh, absolutely. There's absolutely pain in this. Sure, absolutely. But I like my fun with the side
right.
of pain.
That's, yes, of course.
We should mention too the Sunday games you're going to hear on these very airwaves.
Absolutely, they are. Yeah, that's Houston and Kansas City at 2:05, and then afterwards the 5:40 kick. That's Seattle and Green Bay. I will watch this with a side of pain. It'll be fun, I suppose, at the same time. I just can't get over the notion that despite Bill O'Brien, Deshaun Watson is making that team click offensively as best he can, even while getting his ass kicked on like 30% of plays, making bad decisions on the other 20%, and then pulling it out of nowhere with the rest of it. I don't know that they've got enough to keep up with Kansas City's offense. I don't think they do.
I don't think they do either. I think this is a game Kansas City wins, having it at home, at the home of the Chiefs. And I mean, Arrowhead is it's a really cool spot for a lot of NFL venues that don't anywhere near rival some of the great college atmospheres.
No, that's a collegiate venue.
It really is.
Is that good?
Yeah. Arrowhead is great. Lambeau is great. You know, you got certain spots around the league that still feel like you've got that fanaticism, that passion that you get when you go to a major college football game. Arrowhead's one of them, and that home crowd will boost the way they operate defensively. It's going to make life really difficult on Deshaun Watson, and I agree. For Bill O'Brien, that there are things he needs to recognize. I think there's a little bit of that Andy Reid, Matt Nagy nature of just seeing things through the QB lens to such an extent where you're saying, all right, if we drop back and we can protect just long enough, here's what we can exploit, as opposed to saying, how do I consistently take pressure off my QB and off my what's still sort of an underserviced offensive line. They enhanced it a little bit going into this season.
Very underserviced.
Yes. So, I mean, for how they operate offensively, he needs to, in the offseason, take just as deep a dive as Matt Nagy needs to do with the Bears offense and say, how do I allow the QB and the O-line to be better by more limited exposure.
But Billy doesn't have a GM to help him out. I mean, that I don't understand how that franchise with that guy at quarterback and all the potential that he encompasses looks at their roster, all the moves they made, all the trades they made, and go, we don't need anybody help. We're good. Why?
Because they've got Deshaun Watson. Because they've got Dabo's Michael Jordan at quarterback.
Yeah.
It masks so many things. Green Bay got away with it for so long, man, where Mike McCarthy's looking at everything and saying, who needs a run game? I mean, Aaron Jones was there under Mike McCarthy, but they weren't giving him the rock. I mean, when it comes down to it, when you have that quarterback, you feel like you can fill in other gaps. You can put your finger in other spots and just say, that dude's going to make it happen for us.
All right, Clemson, LSU. Who do you like?
I like Clemson. Ohio State outplayed Clemson for the majority of that game because Ohio State, in my opinion, was the best, the most complete team in every phase in college football. Kicking field goals as opposed to scoring touchdowns and a few key calls don't break their way. Here's Clemson in another national championship game. LSU, while they've had some monumental wins this season, they've been really impressive. Joe Burrow will very likely be the number one pick in the draft. They're so skilled on offense, one of the better offensive lines they've had in quite a while too. But it's Clemson is the most well-rounded, the most complete team they've seen, and really the only guy, certainly the only quarterback who, if he were draft eligible, would be drafted ahead of Joe Burrow right now, would be Trevor Lawrence. He's a special talent. Like, I was in San Antonio, like I referenced to you guys last week, for the All-American Bowl. He was there just a couple of seasons ago. All the running around, 67-yard touchdown stuff. Didn't surprise me one bit. They didn't need it throughout the season because they play in the ACC. But when it comes down to it, he's got the skills. He's got the wheels to do that, but he can carve you up from the pocket. Spent that first month kind of like Joe Kane from the program, trying to win the Heisman with every pass. Once he got out of that mode and just started just operating within their system and then occasionally looking for the strike play because they're just deep and talented at receiver, then he was playing on another level, just like he should have been the whole year. You know, I think it's Clemson, not in a landslide, but I'm confident Clemson.
Don't tell Dabo he played in the ACC this year. He hates hearing that. Yeah. That wasn't the conference.
Dabo hates hearing a lot of things. He hates hearing about players getting paid. He hates hearing about their easy conference.
And hates it.
He's going to go cash his $90 million check. And
yes,
be cool
with he
it.
Is.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thanks, fellas.
That is Anthony Herron talking football. You know it's Thursday with us if you are hearing him here.
That's good.
And next up, you got to hear what Kendrick Perkins said, the radio.com insider for the NBA. Some straight fire regarding an objective perspective on your Chicago Bulls. That's next on The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to two on The Score.
Black fans being like, you know why they didn't draft Watson or Mahomes, right? And white fans being like, Lawrence, do you think that it's possible that the Bears didn't draft Watson or Mahomes? What do you think? And they go, yeah, I kind of think maybe that had something to do with it.
Lawrence Holmes noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Tom, hiring can be challenging. But ZipRecruiter makes it fast and easy. We talked to COO Dylan Miskowitz, who needed to hire a director of coffee for his company, Cafe Altura.
We would look through lots of applications for people who were not qualified. It definitely felt like we were looking for a needle in a haystack.
So Dylan started using ZipRecruiter and found his perfect candidate in a few days. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/needle.
We're very impressed with how quickly we had quality candidates apply through ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is a powerful tool in our hiring process.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/needle. That's ZipRecruiter.com/needle. ZipRecruiter.com/needle.
Let's face it, New Year's resolutions are hard to keep. You want to get more exercise? You want to save more money? Here's one you're going to keep. Stop wasting time going to the post office. You don't have to. You can use stamps.com. You can do anything you do at the post office right from your computer. And stamps.com gives you something you can't get at the post office: big discounts on your postage. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. A small office sending invoices, online seller shipping out products, warehouse with thousands of packages. No matter what, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. You use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7, any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want it to send, to go to. Once your mail's ready, you hand it to your mail carrier. Drop it in the mailbox. It's that easy. And with Stamps.com, you get 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off priority mail, a fraction of the cost of those expensive postage meters. It's a no-brainer. It saves you time. It saves you money. Stop going to the post office and go to Stamps.com. You can use it because you're not really going anywhere. There's no risk. Here's the promo code. It's my last name, Bernstein, B-E-R-N-S-T-E-I-N. You get a special offer. It's 4-week trial and free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitment, no contract. Go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in Bernstein. That's stamps.com, promo code Bernstein, stamps.com. Never go to the post office again.
Saturdays at 8 a.m., don't miss Sports Medicine Weekly. Fitness, nutrition, and injury prevention and treatments for today's weekend warrior and professional athletes. With renowned specialist of shoulders, elbows, and knees, and chief doctor for Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, Dr. Brian Cole.
I see more foot and ankle problems initially than I see any of those other categories. Foot fractures were the number one injury that was treated at Combine this year.
Sports Medicine Weekly, Saturdays at 8 a.m., here on 670 The Score.
It all starts with just one thing. Be smart when operating your thermostat this winter. Lowering the temperature just a few degrees saves a lot of energy, and a programmable thermostat can save even more. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing? Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. Be smart when operating your thermostat this winter. Lowering the temperature just a few degrees goes a long way in saving energy, and a programmable thermostat can save even more. Run ceiling fans in reverse to send warm air back to the floor, which keeps rooms warmer longer, and use space heaters to help heat rooms without having to heat your whole house. It all starts with just one thing. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
If you're a fan of the NFL, come on over to the Deceptively Fast podcast on radio.com or wherever else you download your podcast. I'm Seth Payne. I'm a retired NFL player. You might know me if you're old and you follow expansion teams. If not, no big deal. We have a good time. And look, I've been hitting the head a bunch of times. But I still know some stuff. Most importantly, I interview people who know stuff. Players, coaches, media, insiders, the whole gamut. Check it out. It's the Deceptively Fast podcast at radio.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Guys are not having fun. I don't see jumping up and down from the bench. I don't see guys chest bumping or nothing to that nature. To me, it falls back on the coach. Because him running that high school type, building that high school type atmosphere, culture, the guys are not having fun.
That's Kendrick Perkins, radio.com NBA insider. He also got a little bit more specific, getting into the X's and O's, saying, well, what's wrong? Where's the disconnect? He tried to answer that with what he thinks the Bulls are trying to do.
I know it's a job, and you know, we get paid, millions of dollars to play the game of basketball, and you're supposed to take it serious. But at the end of the day, you're also supposed to enjoy this. You're supposed to love this. This is supposed to be, you know, you go out there and supposed to have fun. You know, I try to be a fan of Jim Boylan, but it's just I can't. Not today's NBA. The way he's running his system, it just don't work like that no more.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's honest.
And outside of coaching, he also had some thoughts for a team that is trying to build a contender around Zach LaVine. Might that be possible?
I think Zach LaVine he's a great talent, but he's not a bad man. He's a Robin. I take him as my second best player, though. Second or third option guy. But to say, you know, hey, I'm going to build around Zach LaVine, I don't know. Even though he stepped up in, you know, crucial moments, he had those games where he go missing. But at the end of the day, you know, I wouldn't say Chicago is a playoff team if they're building around Zach LaVine.
Well, there you have it.
That's only three or four of your worst fears.
That was cool. With Mully and Haw this morning. Good stuff from Perk. We thank our guests, Will Perdue, Matt Miller, and Anthony Heron, who joined us today, Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, the executioner, Ray Diaz, and the man with his video feed, Brian Gerch, available on video feed. You can watch us. Tomorrow, we're going to have stuff and things.
Oh, we've scheduled things. Yeah, absolutely. Pete Futek's going to be in to hang out and talk football.
Really? We want him, like, near us?
Well,
really?
Yeah, I guess it's part of the contract. It got negotiated that way. But a few techs going to come in. We're going to talk about the title game. And we have an expanded, a fun list of nostalgia and baseball.
Yeah, we got to do that.
And fun. I can't wait to goof around for a little bit tomorrow, too. We'll get into all the playoff games. Lawrence and Transition is next on The Score.
When you think Chicago sports, think Mully and Haw. Chicago's most listened to sports morning show, hands down. They cover all of Chicago's teams. From the daily wins and losses to the most historic moments in Chicago sports. Trust Mully and Haw to start your day. Mornings 5 to 9. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com sports station.
The playoffs are on. Make sure you're in on the action as well this weekend with the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Great promotions running every day. Odds boosts, free bets. DraftKings has it all. DraftKings Sportsbook is a safe and secure betting app through which you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. It's one of the big reasons why DraftKings Sportsbook is America's top-rated sportsbook app. And how about this? DraftKings Sportsbook is offering their best sign-up offer to date right now. Do not miss this. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code CHICAGO, because for a limited time, as an all-new user, you can get a sign-on bonus of up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is going all out with a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. That is the code CHICAGO. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Indiana only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Show Transition, the raw show interaction you've come to love on The Score. It starts at 9 a.m. between Mully and Haw and Bernstein and McKnight.
He can no longer scapegoat the kicker the way he did last season. There's no Today Show appearance. We just got to fix this one thing. It's like an internet. It's like a bad internet.
Here's
like
a problem.
This one Mully's quirky right thing will fix
We've
your
offense.
We've
talked too
That's
much
gone
about the kicker again.
Ridiculous.
Already. There's enough about the kicker.
Then at noon between Bernstein and McKnight and the Lawrence Holmes Show.
You know who should be helping the young center figure out what the protection should be?
The third-year quarterback.
Yep. That's the guy who should be helping him out. He only talks twice a year.
And at 2, when Lawrence hands things over to Mackin Parkins.
On the back end of it, fire a truckload of assistant coaches. I thought we were done with this from our Lake Foresters.
I didn't think the Bears were above this.
Oh, I don't think they're above it because I think their general manager is full of it.
Don't miss Show Transition on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Homer Esiason.
I just don't see the Patriots paying Tom Brady top end dollar when I'm talking about $35, $40 million a year for a starting quarterback in the NFL. with his resume, I don't think he's going to be there. I think he's either in another uniform or he is retired. I don't see, you know, the Chicago Bears spending the kind of money it may take to actually get him to go there. I don't see him and Matt Nagy seeing eye to eye, and I just they're a team that would be one of those teams you would say, yeah, where are the really good teams that may be in need of a quarterback? And like I keep telling you guys, I think that they should bring somebody in to push Mitchell and to make him compete for this job and not let him think that it's all his, that he's got to go out and earn it and immerse himself in the playbook. But I don't think Tom Brady's that guy.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2-6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago sports station.
Unfortunately, I mean, you know, that's basically it.
That's really cool, Lawrence. You got Dan Soder coming on today at 1240. I'm a big fan of that. Chris Tannehill recommended him to me because it's a tradition that when my son and I go on long drives, we listen to profane and dark and inappropriate comedy. We always have. So we're looking for something a little different. And Tannehill said, first thing, Dan Soder's Son of a Gary, the HBO special. It's great.
Yeah, he's tremendous. And he's like a crazy Niners fan. That's part of the reason that we're having him on today to talk a little bit about the playoffs. But I went to go see him. Not, that wasn't the reason for the trip, but I happened to be in Arizona taking a couple days off. And we've been Twitter friends for a little while.
Cool.
And I was like, hey, I'm in Phoenix. And he's like, dude, come by the show. So I came by the show. And then after the show, you know, the comedians would do like a meet and greet.
Yeah.
And we got to actually meet. Mm-hmm. And we talked for like 10 minutes. And he's great. Like he and Jay Oakerson, their show, The Bonfire, like ideally what we do on radio is supposed to be like a bunch of people you like hanging out with your friends, just talking about nonsense. They actually accomplished that on their show. It's so fun and a little bit profane, and they do a good job with it. So I've been a fan of that for a while, and I'm looking forward to talking with Soder, having him on the show today.
He's really cool.
He's
yeah.
great guy. Never met him for me. So what do I need to? What's the starting point for Dan Soder's work? It's son of a Gary. Son of a Gary.
And let's do it straight through because it's a lot about his. It's very personal comedy.
Okay.
He takes very difficult things and confronts them head on in ways you go, whoa. I mean, certain jokes like okay, he just told that joke. All right.
Well, he's on the show Billions as well.
Okay.
So I mean, He's branched out in a lot of cool ways.
Very cool.
Just seems like a top-notch dude, man. So I'm looking forward to having him on the show and talking some football with him and maybe a little bit of comedy too. Like I've found that I really enjoy talking with comedians, and on House of L, like I get an opportunity to do some of that stuff. Like I'm looking forward to getting Thelonious Monk on because there's a new ABC show based on his life that's getting ready to come out, which I'm excited about. My boy Dave Hellman, then Gary Goldman, who I think is hysterical.
He's hysterical. His bit on
about the joke about the state names,
the abbreviations,
state abbreviations
of the states. Yeah. It shouldn't be like there's no one makes that funny. He makes it hysterical.
Well, his bit about the karate kid is amazing, where he points out that really the villain is Daniel.
Is he the guy that did the video? Because there is a YouTube, like a 3-minute YouTube video that makes the case using video.
I don't think that he
Daniel LaRusso as villain.
I think that he just did it in stand up, and someone else may have taken that idea and turned it into video. But he's also in Joker. So
yeah, he's the comedian in Joker.
He's the actual comedian in Joker. So what was funny to me is that his special on HBO is called The Great Depression, and it's worth listening to. But I had him on House of L. And I was saying that other than the homicide, he lived the life of that character.
Whoa.
Struggling comedian, institutionalized, medicated, trying to figure all of that stuff out while still trying to be funny. Fun fact about Gary Goldman, scholarship football player at Boston College.
No kidding.
Really?
Yes.
What do you put like a line?
Tight end.
Tight end. Yeah,
he's
a big
man.
Yeah, he goes 6'5", probably.
6'6".
6'6".
Here's an update, by the way, on the Coyote lockdown currently at Lincoln Park High School.
It's a bad sequel.
Because of the Coyote?
Still in lockdown. Yeah,
really?
They don't know if it's the Coyote, but there's a Coyote in Oz Park, and they're waiting for animal control to get to it. So they're not at Lincoln Park. They have to sometimes go outside to switch buildings. So now they're keeping all the kids in class. My daughter says it's been over an hour, and it's really not that big a deal, except she's type one, and we've got a little bit kind of a panic room situation. Now we have we do have a kit in every one of her classes. Now she's on the pump, so it's not really an insulin issue. It's going to be a food issue if she goes low. So now we're concerned about just making sure that she's going to have.
Well, I don't quite understand if they can't leave their classrooms.
I don't get it
because that doesn't make any sense if the coyote's just not.
Correct.
In the building.
If they leave as a class, the coyote's not coming up to 20 people.
I'm with you on this.
It's not happening.
I totally understand, but because some kids switch from building to building,
right.
For class, not everybody stays in the same building. They're keeping everybody in their current class.
Okay.
Because of a coyote, which probably lives there in Oz Park and has always been there and will continue to be there. If they think it's this one rogue coyote that's been biting people, I can understand. But if they
now he has a taste for blood.
Right, but maybe they're thinking that this if it could be this one coyote that obviously needs to be put down.
Well, now, look, here's the thing, Dan. Now it's starting to seem like that every week you and I have a bit. That's what this is starting to seem like now. That last week it was not dead guy. This week it's that crazy coyote that's out there.
Well,
now it seems like we're doing a bit.
The problem is I had started in on the whole we're doing the coyote sighting in Lincoln Park, coyote sighting in Old Town. Yeah, they live there. They've been there for years. They're always there. And then I said, it's not news. If it bites a five-year-old kid at the Notabart Nature Museum, it's news. If they think the same coyote bit some poor sap on the butt, that's a story. So now they got to be worried. If this is probably a different coyote that's going to end up getting tranquilized or worse because of its cousin that's acting a fool over and elsewhere in Lincoln
Don't
Park.
Don't I know it? Don't I know it? I live over by this Museum of Science and Industry,
yeah.
And in that area, there's like a really beautiful area. I start to see the yotes kind of walk out of there all the time. And even where me and Mel took our pictures.
They live by me, right? The lawn by WGN. They're always there.
So it's startling, but it's not surprising when you see one. And for the most part, they seem to be fine. I didn't know they were biting people now. That's not good.
Yeah, no, that's a thing.
But they do think it's the same one that got the five-year-old boy, who's apparently fine, even though he's bitten multiple times on the head.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
No, that like I said, that you forfeited your habitation privileges.
So
get you.
It's Pulp Fiction. He forfeited his L.A. privileges.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Indeed, that is.
You either get gone or you be gone.
I'm very far from okay.
Well,
and we have the meats. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. I've enjoyed you guys talking Bulls, and I'm actually, there's a portion of the Will Perdue that I wanted to bring back. Like, I've been struggling over the last couple of days. It's been a thing that we've talked about on the air, how I just don't know what it is that I'm supposed to be looking at, like from game to game. And I don't mean I'm not watching the Bulls, like as some sort of protest. I mean, you kind of know what your team is doing, whether it's trying to tank, or it's trying to be a playoff team. If you're in the cycle of player development, can't be brought up the idea of coaching development, that's what I'm supposed to be watching for. And I'm like, that sucks.
Pass.
If that's what I'm watching Bulls games for at this point. And then last night,
level.
You have a team that's, I mean, I get it. It's New Orleans, mm-hmm. and that's a bad place to go be on the road. I just spent 4 days in New Orleans, and it felt like I spent 10 days in New Orleans. So I get it. But then you come out and you have a performance like that after what you've done consecutively in games. And it's just like, what is this exercise? Now, I have gotten to the point where I'm not getting mad anymore. I've just decided that it's not worth it to me anymore as a fan. I don't know if I'm indicative of other people who are fans of the Bulls. Are you just kind of like, okay, when you guys start caring again, maybe I'll start caring again.
I think it is, because I'm feeling that myself. And I think a lot of people I've talked to who watch a lot of Bulls basketball are feeling the same way. Just kind of this, well, it's on again, And we'll just see when the collapse comes, as opposed to just how often and how long.
The reason
it's coming.
Why an attentive listener is interested is because of the Rick Camp get rich quick system of following the bulls.
He's got a scheme.
He's right.
I love a good scheme.
He's got an angle knowing exactly when to fade him on the money line when it's like, oh, they're up 12 to start the third. Yeah, okay. All right, see how that goes for you. I mean, maybe not against the Pistons or the Hawks, but against a team you think that has enough resources to take advantage, there is opportunity to be had. He's proving it.
Yeah, that's the way that you should exploit what they're doing. And honestly, I'll just say this. They are relegated to, like, me fast-forwarding through games once my shows come back. Now, for me, over the last month, my shows have kind of gone away because they're on hiatus. But my shows come back next week. Like, all of the shows on the CW that I like, they're all back next week. So the Bulls are going to find themselves to morning relegation.
Woof.
Where I'm...
The catch-up TV.
Yep. Where I'm just like, do-do-do-do-do. Oh, here's the part where they don't finish the game. Got it. Okay. Because there's no real reason stop and watch.
The multiple missed layups.
Or the Chris Dunn airball three.